and welcome to What's Your Deal? I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski. This is the podcast where we read tarot for special guests to find out where they've been and where they're going. I am delighted to have with me today fellow Gemini, Grace Spellman, a formerly writer at BuzzFeed.
Hey.
Hi. Who has a new podcast coming out, which we're going to break here on the podcast.
Wow.
It's called
I Love This Part. It's a music podcast about me loving music.
Which you have wonderful music taste. I find very few people that I can connect with over Sheryl Crow stands out the most. Are you also a Sarah McLachlan person? That's more covert, maybe.
No, that's like a little.
That's a little too.
It's a little too
purple.
It's a little too mushy for me, and
yeah.
It's like not enough Sheryl Crow. You know what I mean? It's not
enough.
Like Sheryl Crow. But
yeah.
Granted, you know what? I also feel it's unfair for me to say that because I really only know In the Arms of. Wait, did she sing Adia?
Yes.
That's a beautiful song.
If you only know In the Arms of the Angel, like...
Right. Which is why it feels unfair for me to, like, make a judgment on her.
Yeah, that's not a good place to start with her. But you also talked about Third Eye Blind recently, and I was like, oh my God, we don't talk about this album.
No.
Their debut album. Which I found out was the most... they put the most money behind that. It broke records for being, they were unsigned and they gave them like the biggest deal of all time because
it
was unsigned.
That's so
which
cool.
They deserved.
I didn't know that either. Oh, I'm definitely going to look into that now because I love that album so much.
Do you have any memories with like Motorcycle Drive By or any of those songs?
That's the thing is like I was younger when they came out. I mean, what year did it come out? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm 27.
In the 90s or something like that.
So I was young, but like, I guess I just have, like, a lot of it is just, like, I was a really big radio, like, I really loved the radio when I was younger. Now I can't stand it. But, like, back then, I just remember, and I would keep it right next to me in my bunk bed, and it was just so cool because there was just so much different kind of music. So I do have a lot of, like, jumper singles just lying on top of my bunk bed and, like, looking up at it and stuff like that. That's really where I go when I hear it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How are you choosing the music you're doing for your podcast? Are you kind of going intuitively or is there like a, are you like, all right, I'm going to start with?
No, it's really, I think the thing that is like sort of a little bit different about my music podcast is I definitely do some like analysis and things like that, but the thing that drives it is just like what I love, you know what I mean? So it's really about like the things that I'm most passionate talking about. Like my first episode is going to be about the instrumentation in Kanye West's late registration, but then I've got another episode coming up where I just like talk about like how cool it, like the song, you know, the song Sultans of Swing, which is how cool it is and how like the guitar almost like mimics these like introducing of like little characters he does. And so it's really just about like what I like. Like I was doing the late registration album and I was like, I guess I should talk about this track, but I don't really like it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to talk about it because I don't like it. And then I was like, this is so fun. This is great.
Yeah. You're editing out everything that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it's called I Love This Part.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm really going to hopefully not make it too subjective in that and like still, you know, do a little bit of like deep digging and analysis into why I love these parts. But definitely it's going to be like, I love this part. If you love it too, that's great. You know?
It's really interesting because I immediately a song jumped to mind where I think there's just this one extremely beautiful part in this Harry Nilsson. Do you know Harry Nilsson very much? The song when he's covering Randy Newman. Do you know that album at all? Okay, I'll send you the song.
Yeah, please.
But there's just this one moment where he sings something and his voice does a little flip up. And the first time I heard it, I thought, I can't believe he captured that on tape and we have that now for all of time.
Yeah.
Like there's something about these special parts in music where they're like magic. They just come and go and we caught them on tape.
Especially in vocal and vocal things.
Yeah.
And like because that's where like you hear some of like the not perfectness and a little bit of like the messiness, you know, whereas like instruments, if you fudge up a note, it's usually fixed. But like you like I feel like artists can be a little bit more raw and a little bit more messy in their vocals, like little flips and things like that. And I feel like that as an audience or listener rather. You know, it's just like, you're right. It's like,
we got it.
We got it. Yeah. Like,
that's
I heard
ours.
That too. I totally agree. I think I would love to hear that song then.
I'll send it to you.
Yes, please.
Or maybe we can like play it later at the break.
True.
And maybe we will play it at the break.
Yeah, we should play it at the break.
So you've made a transition from New York to Los Angeles.
Yes.
You're a little angel now.
I know. I'm a little Los Angel.
and lost angel.
I'm a lost angel. I thought about making that joke.
Fell all the way from the Statue of Liberty.
I just landed from heaven right onto my apartment. No, not at all. Yeah, I was in New York working in a media job.
Did you have to go to a building for that?
Yeah.
Would you like walk to a building?
We went to BuzzFeed's 6-story offices. We had, I would never burn any bridges. It was what it was. And I worked with like fantastic people. It was just sometimes some of the work was tough, but I was living in my parents' basement before that, working at the mall. So I stayed for a long time.
Wow, what a great beginning to a sitcom.
Yeah, I was looking at Build-A-Bear at the fucking mall.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. So, how long were you at Build-A-Bear?
Well,
I started to take you back to this dark place.
I don't care. I first started at the Build-A-Bear in Times Square.
Oh,
which
this
is,
sucks.
No, it sucked, but it was just like insane. I mean, my coworkers were great and very patient people because so many people there are tourists who are not familiar with Build-A-Bear.
Right.
And so you have to like, and I don't know.
I mean, I'm not familiar with, I mean, it sounds straightforward.
Do you not know about like what the process of
Build-A-Bear? Is it sort of like Mr. Potato Head?
No, it's sort of like, so you get there and you pick your, we call them, I don't know if we called it this to the customer's face, but they're called skins. I know.
Okay.
And it's just like these not buckets, but these crates of empty skins. And some of them are bears, some of them are octopuses, some of them are unicorns, some of them are Olaf when we like team up with Disney, you know, some of that like How to Train Your Dragon, it's the dragon or whatever. And so you pick the skin and then you go over to the fluffing station, which I love doing that one because I loved it so much because I used to work in childcare for a very long time and also it's just like feel very playful as a person. But it's called the heart ceremony. And so what they do is I'm sitting by a giant, almost like a vending machine tipped on its side, clear, and you can see the fluff going in and out of it. You can literally see the fluff. And what I do is I actually take their skin and I hold it up to this tube and I press a pedal down and that the pedal unleashes the fluff and I fill up their bear or whatever. And then, or their animal or whatever. And then it's open. And then each little thing gets a heart. You can also put sounds in it or a scent for extra. People, at the end of the day, like a decked out bear ends up costing like $80.
Scent like chocolate or
yeah, you can
jasmine?
Do chocolate.
Okay.
Or people usually do like strawberry or raspberry or
got
whatever.
Okay.
And so then you do a heart ceremony. And this is where you get to kind of wing it, depending on how old the person is. But basically it's like, okay, take your heart. It's like a plush little red heart about like, I don't know. It's like very
silver dollar.
Yeah,
size?
Silver dollar.
Okay.
And it can really, some people would just be like, kiss your heart and put it in your bear. But I would, if they were young, I'd be like, all right, now jump up and down and like spin around. Cause then it's like very
you
fun.
You have
and,
them do a spell.
Yeah. And you like create a memory with them
yeah.
or like kiss it or like have your dad kiss it, you know, have your family kiss it or who is it for? And then sometimes, and that was so fun for me. I loved that. But then like the asshole part of me like loved when like teens would like go in and be like, and it was so funny because teens would always go in and preface with like, this is so stupid, like
right.
This is dumb or whatever, you know what I mean, but they're still doing it. And so I would just, and so like sometimes if they were jerks, I would make them like, I'd be like, all right, jump up and down, you know what I mean? Or like make your girlfriend kiss it real loud or something like that. But it was very fun. A lot of people didn't speak English, so it was very, that was like a very interesting thing for me. But then at the end of the day, it's movements, it's like sounds and things like that. So it's really like, it was like, those are instructions were easy to give. Anyways, so you put the thing in and then I sew it up with a needle and thread and then I give it to them and then they can go, you know, decorate it with clothes and skateboards and roller skates and things like that. So anyways, yeah. So I was doing the one in Times Square and then I moved back home to Massachusetts and worked at the mall and was just failing out of community college over and over and over again. Living in my parents' basement. And then I got an email from the people at BuzzFeed and they were like, we like your Twitter. Do you want to come write for our humor department? And I was like,
you're like, I'm free.
I was like, you're shitting me. It was amazing. Cause I mean, I didn't get great grades in high school. And so I was just, there was a period of time where I was just like, this is it. This is my life. I'm going to live in my parents' basement for a really long time and have a nice Twitter account, but like be ultimately the most depressed person in the world. And so I went out to New York and worked for their humor department, which like almost immediately was shuttered. And then I just ended up writing
lists. I love a nice Twitter account. I saw that immediately, like in very curly script that you could like wear as a
yes,
shirt
I
around.
Mean, yeah, nice Twitter. It's gold plated yeah, necklace. Yeah, yeah. It says a nice Twitter account. Oh my God, I would never.
I mean, you're a fabulous poster.
Thank you. Well, thanks. I mean, sometimes it feels like it's all I have. But
I mean, it's definitely confusing. Like, to have a nice Twitter account is very confusing.
When I say it feels like it's all I have, I guess I don't mean Twitter. I just mean like being like my online, being online, you know, but then at the end of the day, it's like every opportunity that's ever been given to me, like every other time someone's like slid into my DMs to be like, do you want to submit this for this? It's like it's all happened because of mm-hmm. online. And so at the end of the day, like I wouldn't be yeah. sitting here without it.
Yeah, that's really strange. It sort of feels like coming out of a dream when I meet people from that I know through Twitter mm-hmm. because you read their little diary, because it really is just a little micro diary.
Right. Yeah, it's your thoughts. I love your thoughts. That's what's great about that.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
So it is coming out of, you've been reading someone's diary for a couple years.
Yeah, and I feel like since like 2014 yeah, or something, we have yeah. like known each other through Twitter. So yeah, absolutely.
It's very, very strange. I think it is magical. Like, I think the internet is definitely.
You just did. I just want to let everyone know she just did like the finger in vagina move. Like, she took her index finger and made a hole with it. She said magical. It was either Chinese finger trap or
no,
penetration.
I meant penetrative sex. And that makes me really uncomfortable with myself and what I don't understand about myself. Like, why would I automatically say the internet is so magical?
And then you do a jerk off motion.
I'm like feeling like I'm sweating. But I guess why did I do that? Because it reminds me of connecting. Okay,
yes.
This is less phallic.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm making more of like a river.
Right. A direction, like a river.
A direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The subconscious.
Right.
Or whatever. The soup. So do you, how much do you like believe in magic, or do you feel spiritual at all? What are your thoughts on why we're here?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess my relationship to magic is different than my relationship to why we're here. I was like a full blown, I remember, I think one of like the most embarrassing moments was like saying to myself, maybe in fifth grade, that like I'm Wiccan and being like, and being like, how am I going to break this to my friends?
That's funny.
Like, did not know what it was. It did not care.
How'd you come across it?
I'd always, Harry Potter, as much like flack as it gets, I was obsessed with it, but I was also just had an affinity towards high fantasy books, mm-hmm. like all the time. And even still, like, just love getting lost in those worlds of magic and things like that. And so I had gone to some bookstore and like gotten a book on spells, but it was like put in like one pipe cleaner and like one like food coloring, like red water. And I was like, this feels like crafts mm-hmm. and it doesn't feel real to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel like the characters in my book. I want to feel like I can really like feel the kind of magic that potentially that these characters can, or that like mm-hmm. the magic that exists in their world. And so I went to Salem with my mom and my sister. Yeah.
I just made really big eyes. Because that's like such a cool pilgrimage. I would never even think about doing that. It's really cool.
I mean, I grew up in Massachusetts, so it was right there. I mean, it wasn't really. I'm from a different part, but it was there. And so, you know, I fell in love and got all these like Wiccan books for teens
So they hype it up in Salem, like when you go.
There are a lot of stores that like have those books, but it was great because they weren't the craft books, you know, they weren't like the arts and crafts books, rather. They were like actual like spells and rituals and things to say. And I don't know how much I really think I might have done some of them, but for me, it was just like, I just loved reading them. I think it was the same sort of thing that I liked reading the book, and I liked knowing about this like craft or this art, rather than like, I wouldn't necessarily want to practice it myself. Mm-hmm. So that's my relationship to magic. Why we're here on this earth?
I mean, it was kind of a facetious question.
I think it just all comes down to like science and like, there's probably like 800, there's another me on another podcast right now. saying the same thing. That's because it's so. I'm
Wait,
just saying
what?
Like, I'm saying like that was my way of saying like the universe is so big that like the chances
there's another dimension, there's
the probability there's like another Grace Feldman out there who's like sitting on a pod, because that's what I believe, is that it's just like science allowed us to like be these fully formed creatures that can like make podcasts and like have these thoughts. I don't know. If I think about it for too long, I start to freak out.
So, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. No, I mean, they're interesting yet very disparate ideas. So I'm trying to think. Okay. So there's multiple dimensions.
I mean,
right?
I don't know if there are. Not dimensions. I think I would just say there's probably like the likelihood of other.
Universe?
Like space is so big that there's probably another planet. Like, why
gotcha.
Would we be?
Okay,
sorry, that's what I meant. Not dimensions. I just meant like the vastness of space.
Right. Like,
and there aren't only nine planets.
Got it.
Sorry.
Got it.
Yeah.
I see.
A little more scientific.
Right. I was going to ask you. Oh, I was curious. This is going back a little bit. Did you ever read Searching for Dragons or anything of those kind of books?
I met so many books with the title Dragons.
I wish I could remember more about it. What I remember when you were talking about it was that there were characters that could feel strands in the air, basically, mm-hmm. and they could reach out and sort of like grab them and create, they could affect the environment around them by...
Oh.
They were invisible, but they could be sensed.
Okay.
And if they grabbed them, they could like shift things that were happening.
Interesting.
But you did not read. That's what
no,
it's,
I didn't. That, I didn't read that. No, I don't think so.
So do you think like when you were little, because that's what I thought about first. I was like, oh, magic, doing magic when you're little and wanting something real. Did it feel like hoping to work with a sort of invisible world?
I think for magic, it was like, you said it was like connecting with.
Invisible stuff.
Yeah, I think it definitely was connecting with invisible stuff. I think it was just like hoping. I think it might have been like, it was more just like hoping that eventually something would like connect to me, like
uh-huh.
sort of waiting for the animal to talk to me or for
yeah.
the thing to move closer to me or
yeah.
for the books to start like flipping their pages, not
yeah,
rather
yeah.
than like me feeling it, but for them to be like, all right, Grace,
something,
you're ready. Like, we're ready
wow.
to contact you.
So if you could be open to signs happening now, would you do it still?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't, because I feel like if I went searching for them, then I wouldn't mean anything, because it would be like, oh, I'm just like, you know, like if you're looking for signs, then maybe you will find ones that like aren't real or
right.
you're just like searching so you see ones that aren't really there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, then the likelihood of me finding signs is like, if I'm not actively searching, I'm probably not going to find any. But anyways, I guess
right.
my like attitude is like, I'm just hoping that like that magical thing happens to me.
Uh-huh.
Like they contact me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm like thinking in my head like about magic. I started taking these like magic walks last year. I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast.
Cool.
I don't know how much time we have to talk about this. We'll find out. But I have always like noticed lots of coincidences and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, and been like, I wonder if there's a way to like do this consciously instead of just being like, wow, what a coincidence. Like being
yeah.
like, I wonder if I can just make this happen.
Yeah, cool.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And I live in a place where there's, it takes like 20 minutes to walk to somewhere green or like
mm-hmm.
a park, basically. And I wanted something like a little closer. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to try this. I'm going to purposely write down something where I'm like, I find a green place close by to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a park, something like that. And I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to try to do this. So I wrote out this spell and put my little backpack on and like walked out the door. And I was like, I'm just going to look around and see if I see anything.
I love that.
And I didn't get very far. I walked like halfway down my block and noticed a sign that said, this is protected by the Natural Wildlife Federation or something like that. It was just like a sign on a fence. And I was like, I stopped for a second and it was like someone's backyard. And I looked and I could see behind their house there was like a bunch of trees and like a forest, it looked like, sort of. And I paced in front of the house like, am I going to like knock on the door and be like, because I'm looking for this. So maybe. And so, you know what I mean? Just like, well, but this can't really be happening. But like, is it? So... And I saw, I like walked up the path and I saw the door was open. And so it was like a screen door, and I said, hello. And someone came to the door and he's like, can I help you? And it was like a dude, and he was wearing like a little trucker hat. And I said, hi, I'm your neighbor. I live just down the street. And I saw that you have a sign that says wildlife protection. I'm just curious why that's there.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, yeah, yeah. It's just so like, so animals can come and so they're protected. And I was like, oh,
that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Why?
That's like, true. Like, how'd like, you swing that?
Or like, why? Like, why would animals be coming to your house? And he was like, oh, well, just because it's like, you know, pretty intense. And I was like, what is? And I didn't say what is. I was like, oh, well, can I see what you're talking about? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he takes me around back and opens this gate. And I hope I can show this to you sometime.
I'm so fascinated.
I must show you because it's like one of the craziest things that's ever happened. So he opens this door and immediately it feels like the climate shifts. Like it's like.
See, what you're saying right now is like that's incredible. The sort of thing that like 10-year-old me or 11-year-old me would just like walk around and hope to find like a little pocket of.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, have goosebumps from remembering it.
Because this is just like what I would do when I was younger, is this sort of like exploration with there's no, like, you don't say no, you just do, you just follow do it. It. Okay, so it's, continue.
It was so scary. Oh no.
Sorry.
All right. All right. We have to.
We've been told to shut up.
Oh man, I want to finish the story so bad. You know what? No, I won't. Everyone's going to have to just.
Just do a part two, I guess?
Yeah, we'll just do part two. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to read The Terror of Grace Spellman.
Yay.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? We are going to read The Terror of the lovely and talented Grace Spellman. I feel like I should finish this story first.
Just like, I gotta know what's in the...
Okay.
That was such a good cliffhanger. Because when I opened the door, and then we gotta take a break.
All right, so I open the door, right? And the weather feels as though it shifts, and it's because there are so many trees in this man's backyard that it forms a canopy like a rainforest. He leads me into the backyard, and I can hear water running. And there's a stream running through this man's yard with a bridge going over the stream. And this is in LA. Like, what in the world?
This is literally, like,
what you dream about as a child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, this, that exactly.
And he had weirdly hung up these signs on the side as I'm walking by that say, like, miracle, which is a little creepy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, magic, you know, magic, connection, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
And this was on your first magic walk.
So it was very, like, hitting me over the head of, like, this works or, like, whatever. And so he said, yeah, this is the section for wood. This is a section for air. This is a section for water. And this is a section for fire, which is the suits and tarot. So I was like, this is absolutely insane.
This is insane.
It was totally insane. And he said, yeah, I quit my job. I used to be like a executive business angel investor type dude. And it was draining my soul. And so I decided to just build a giant forest in my backyard. I've been working on it for 6 years.
So he built it? It wasn't just there?
No, he planted it all. And he was like, I just have this urge. I don't know why. I've just had this urge to build like a park in my backyard.
That's and incredible. Like, and then he got it protected.
Because there's all these animals that would come and they'll like live in his backyard.
Freaking Snow White.
And what was really weird too was the mosquitoes were out of control. Like I was immediately totally bitten up and I was like, oh my God, there's so many mosquitoes. And he said, they're not mosquitoes. They're gnats or like something. Mm-hmm. He was like, it's not what you, and I was like, don't rationalize like that you have mosquitoes everywhere. But I thought, wow, this is really amazing. But also like the real world isn't like a total fantasy land. Like there's still all these mosquitoes.
Right.
That are, you know, it's like this is still really uncomfortable. I need to go home and get
it grounded.
Bug
yeah.
spray.
Yeah.
And it was really odd. So my thought afterwards was like, well, that was amazing and incredible. And I can't believe that worked. But also it seems like the quote magic walk is about awareness. So if I just pay attention.
Right.
Like that seems to be how to engage with the right. world.
Yeah.
Although it was so strange to just be like, to literally walk half a block. So that was crazy.
That's crazy.
Saying that to inspire you that it's not too late.
No, oh my God. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm going to absolutely do this type of thing.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
Great. It also works really well in LA because everyone's full of shit. So it's like, there's
love it.
So many like magical things to
yes.
find. All right. So I want to give you a tarot reading. So I want you to take these cards and
okay.
think about what you'd like guidance about.
Jesus Christ.
Can kind of be anything.
God, there's so much. Do I say it out loud?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say shuffle the cards and kind of.
I don't know how to shuffle. Can I just.
That's fine.
Just
you can mush them around.
Mush them around.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the thing that I really want. God, I was like, wouldn't it be great if I wanted guidance on my love life or on my family? But I'm already in so much. Like, I'm in therapy. Uh-huh. I've been in therapy for so long that, like, that's where I get my guidance from therapy. But, like, I think a lot of my. It's just like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, mm-hmm. I have all these. And when people ask, what do you want to do with your life? And I say, I don't know. It's not because I'm confused. It's just there's so much I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
Because mm-hmm.
I just have so many interests, you know? And so it makes me sad and anxious that I'm not going to live to be 200 years old.
Yeah.
And I get worried that, like, I want to be able to, like, I want to have this podcast and do music, but I want to write comedy. I want to perform. I want to, you know, like, write a sci-fi book. I want to, mm-hmm. you know, like that sort of thing. And this is obviously, I mean, it's out loud, it seems unattainable, but like, I would like to have that some sort of fulfillment that feels like that. So that's,
yes.
I guess, like time and, but I also have like terrible ADD and depression
right.
and, you know, and mental illness, like can take weeks off my life mm-hmm. of me not being productive. And so it very much feels like I'm wasting all this time in
yeah,
my bed.
Yeah.
But then it's like, no, that's just your brain. That's science. You know, you have a chemical imbalance in your mm-hmm. brain that causes these mental illnesses. And so sometimes it feels like so fucked up. I have all of these like things I want to do, but then like I have this dumb brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess.
Like you feel like you're fighting.
Yeah.
It feels like your body and mind are working against your passions and desires. Feels
Absolutely.
Like sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great question. Lots of Gemini themes in there.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so with your left hand, I want you to divide the deck into three separate piles. Also with your left hand, put them back together in any order that you choose. Okay, I'm going to say a brief prayer over these cards.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to do a Celtic cross. So, tarot is, there's 78 cards in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Major Arcana, what?
I saw
oh, you
the
see the hermit.
Hermit.
Yeah, well.
It just kind of hurts.
Yeah. What's in your past?
What do you mean?
Past position.
What do you mean?
Themes that are exiting your life, actually.
What do you mean themes that are exiting?
Like the hermit theme is exiting your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what, is
yes,
that the
that's
exit?
What it means. Yes. It's good, right?
Oh my God. That's what happened. I mean, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are all... randomly drawn out into these fixed positions. So the cards fall randomly into these fixed positions.
Cool.
So this always means your past. This position that's to the left always means your past. This position to the right always means your future.
Amazing.
It's yeah.
incredible.
And so there's a couple, and there's, you know, it's just trying to span the themes of being alive in a body. You know,
right.
that's basically the hope of tarot is to kind of connect you with this life you're living through images that when you look at them kind of provide a gateway into your own subconscious. So it's not really like this, the cards aren't like the end. They are simply the bridge back to yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like looking in a mirror and also trying to walk across a bridge to you.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
So here's the heart of the matter. So this is like the deck almost like reframing your question in many ways. So it's interesting to talk about feeling as though you're working against yourself and wanting to do all these things, but also struggling with mental illness and all that kind of stuff. Even more deeply than that, I'm seeing is here's the Eight of Cups at the heart of the matter. It mm-hmm. shows this figure that's wearing red walking away from these eight cups. The moon is hanging overhead. It's actually eclipsing the sun right there. And this is the card of leaving the past behind. So it's actually sort of a, can be sort of emotional card.
Yeah, I'm like already starting to like tear up.
It's really intense. Yeah, it's really intense. It's one. It's probably the most, there's a couple cards that talk about, quote, breakups or just in general feeling endings, and this is the most emotional one. Like, right. It makes sense that you would tear up because it's like truly one of the most emotional cards. And it speaks to not only it being emotional, but growing weary and like being like, it's done. I'm done with this shit. Like, really. So it's like, can be sad, but also I feel probably tears of joy as well, being like, thank fucking God it's over.
No, I mean, the character in this card is walking away towards something else, presumably. Yes. And so that feels hopeful to me.
Something better.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Like something that not just better, but more true to who you really are. Yeah. That's really the essence of that. And what's interesting is the hermit in the past position, yes, of course, the hermit speaks to like solitude and sometimes isolation and all that kind of thing. But the hermit is also really focused on trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
Like the hermit is looking for them, goes in search of deeper knowledge about why they're on the planet and what this is all about. They often go to like typically like a mentor of some kind also to try to learn more. So this figure walking away with his stick looks awfully similar to this hermit holding his stick.
Yeah.
But look, they're facing away from each
other.
So there's something about this journey that's a little different from the quote hermitage you may have experienced in the past. It seems like that makes sense to you, right? Mm-hmm. So crossing the Eight of Cups is the Knight of Swords. The Knight of Swords is your mind racing.
Yeah.
Swords represents your mind, its mental force.
Cool.
So it's exactly everything you love. It's writing, it's singing, it's the truth, it's Twitter. But it's also like clarity of purpose,
right.
You know, the love of clarity of purpose. Knights are totally obsessed with their suits. They can kind of see nothing but their suits. And since the Knight of Swords is so concerned with mental force, he stays in his mind. He can't quite see the point of feeling sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, why? Like,
yeah.
This is getting in the way of what's really going on.
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of like, there's a domineering attitude towards feeling sometimes of just like, that's just how you feel. Like, it's not the truth.
Right.
You know, it's like that kind of thing. But I think also there's this attitude of like, he's an impatient guy. He's an outward guy, very electric guy, but also very passionate about moving forward with vitality, you know,
yeah.
And like really like, let's go. Like,
yeah,
he's
a knight, you know? Like, yeah, that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah. So whereas this card can kind of almost seem like a slow walking away, there's an element of like, the wind picking you up and taking you along in a quick way. You know what I mean? It's like, let's go. I'm ready to go. Like,
right.
Like, so both of these energies are what's the word? Not emotional, but like full of, there's some conflict there. You know what I mean? It's like, or friction. There's like friction with the weariness of walking away and friction with the like, you know, everything's being stirred up for you.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me. Whereas the coming from the past position of more still time, more hermited time. So these positions, so the card atop the hub is the Ace of Wands. This represents your conscious mind. This is your goal. These are your goals. This is what you're already kind of aware of wanting to do. Then there's a card beneath the hub that's your unconscious mind. That represents stuff that's more latent and stuff that is more unbidden and maybe you wouldn't like talk about it with your friends quite yet because you wouldn't have put words to it. So in the conscious position is the Ace of Wands. Aces are really like pure doses of almost like divine energy from their suit. Wands represents fire, represents movement, represents creative force. So it's different from swords. Swords, mental force, it's more detached. It's not as passionate and like leap before you look.
Right.
But Wands is very much like full of passion. Like what this shows to me for this to be in your conscious position is like the opportunity is here. I will walk through it. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take the risks. I'm going to seize this ace. I'm going to grab this and make this happen. In the unconscious position is the Two of Wands. So I kind of love when this happens where the conscious mind and the unconscious mind seem linked.
Yeah, wand on top, wand on bottom.
I love
it.
That means there's not that much discrepancy between what you're thinking and what's really going on, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
what I should say is what you visualize or the goals you want for yourself and then what's actually going on.
Right.
So I love this. The two of wands actually naturally, obviously, comes after the ace. So it's like ace and then the two.
Right.
So for this to be in your unconscious position means that you're now looking to make your vow. Whereas the ace of wands is like the vow to make a vow. Mm-hmm. Like, I vow to make a vow.
Right, right.
And the two of wands is like, all right, yeah, here's the vow. Here's my vow I'm making.
Yeah.
Now. I must make my vow now. So you're actually a little farther along than you think you are, is what I'm going to say in terms of creativity. It's not even that you're kind of already, you have the two choices you have to make, you know? Mm-hmm. You have the whole world in your hands here. It shows this figure wearing these long robes, holding the world in their hands, hand on one wand. There's another wand behind them. So you're at a crossroads.
Right.
How am I going to make this choice, this creative choice? And the best way to do this when you see this card is to stay in line with whatever your personal power tells you to do and to not give away your power to anybody else, essentially, which can be hard to navigate. Like, yeah. It's easy for me to say that. And it's easy to theoretically talk about it. But a lot comes into play when you're trying to work that out in creative situations where you're like, am I actually good at this? Like, am I blah, blah, blah. So it's a lot about self-doubt and stuff like that. So you're kind of ready to move forward and make this creative choice, essentially, which is cool. And it does seem related to love, actually, a little bit. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like romantic love. It's just more like connection and union. Mm-hmm. You're moving into this position of the Two of Cups, which is like, I love this card. So
cool.
It's awfully sweet. Shows these two figures that are sharing their cups with each other. Cups represents your heart. Cups represents emotional force. It's the link between your head and the passionate creative force. It usually indicates like the groin. It's like obvious. The ace one looks like it's holding like a giant dick.
It's
very
yeah.
phallic. And the cups is about, oh, it's really sweet, actually, because in your passage, it's a hermit, right?
Right. And then
you're moving into being alone anymore.
And I feel that. And like, that's some, it's just like, since, I mean, like, I was very isolated in New mm-hmm. York. It was really hard. I mean, just the scene that I was in, it was hard for me to connect with people. I had a really hard time making friends, which was sort of not weird. I mean, not to be like, I make a lot of friends, but like, it was weird for me to like not be connecting with people so mm-hmm. much. And I moved to New York and like immediately got like a boyfriend and only hung out with him. And so then mm-hmm. when we broke up, I was sort of just like, well, now I'm alone. Mm-hmm. Like, now where do I go?
Yeah.
Whereas like here, I have I've only been here 2 months and feel such a connection to so mm-hmm. many people already. And it's unheard of, like in all 5 years I was in New York. Like mm-hmm. I've never felt as close to people as I do now here mm-hmm. in LA. So
yeah,
like the hermit being in the past on the left side and then the Two of Cups so being towards the forward on the right. I mean, that just
so sweet.
It feels, I mean, it just is like, oh, duh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is the clear path.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. And it's, I kind of love that progression anyway, because, I mean, yeah, being alone can really suck, but you learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And become ready to form these unions. So there's almost this sense of feeling like, yeah, not only will you not be alone, like you shouldn't be. Like,
right.
That's not,
yeah.
It's not.
No, it, yeah, exactly. And I didn't, like, you know, in the past, I never thought like, oh, I'm going to be alone for the rest of
right,
my
right.
life. And I wouldn't take it back because I really, like you said, I really yeah. did. It was a lot of like self-reflection and learning yeah. and things like that.
So, yeah. So that's a really wonderful thing to be stepping into. And I think the thing that I'll say is a lot of it is about being receptive to others' love for you and seeing who's receptive to yours, mm-hmm. basically. So, but it sounds like you're already there.
Yeah.
Devil
I'm
reversed.
Excited about this one.
I know, everyone always looks at the devil like, who's he? Is he related to me? I mean, devil reverse is great. Like, devil upright is being in bondage. Like, devil upright is the worst feeling. Like, it's
just...
Does that
mean, when someone gets a devil, does that mean that, like, you identify with the devil or there is, a devilish presence in your life?
It means that... It can mean both. It's basically just... When it comes up, it's kind of an alarm of, like, something ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're lying to yourself,
right.
Essentially. Is usually when the devil comes up, it's, like, telling yourself a really big lie and everyone can see it and you got to stop doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to, but it's, like, he's... And I mean, the lie with him is that he's terrifying. Like, he has a terrifying looking face.
God. Yeah.
And has two of his buddies in chains here.
Yeah.
But he has no power. Like, the only power he has is how much you give to him, basically. Yeah. And I always tell people, like, these people are in chains, but the chains are very loose around their neck, so they could just lift them off and walk away whenever.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting detail.
Yes. So there's some comment of, like, you play a role in the lies you tell yourself. You know, bondage starts with your beliefs of how much you're in it. So when it's reversed, it's saying that you've thrown off the chains, that you're moving on from situations that formerly held you back.
Right.
Basically. So it's, like, quite positive to me.
Okay, good.
And, you know, there still may be some lingering scars from past situations where there might be, like, where you thought you weren't lovable or where you thought you weren't worthy. You know, that's the devil loves that shit.
Yeah.
Devil is like, you're not lovable. Like, you can't do anything and you should, like, get addicted to everything you can possibly get. Like, so throwing away all of that. In your environment is the sweetest card in the whole wide world, the Page of Cups.
Aww.
Sweetest little baby. So sweet to see. Everyone in your life is giving you a little cup to drink.
There's a fish in the cup.
There's a little fish in the cup that represents his imagination, and he's looking at the fishy. They're just looking at each other like,
oh, they are.
They're having a best time. He's, like, sort of dancing with his little fish.
Yeah.
So it just shows that people around you are very imaginative. There's of sweetness. There's no lack of agenda or baggage, basically. Like, it's a very lovely... I mean, it makes sense to me why you're feeling connections to other people, because I think a lot of people are probably offering sweetness.
Yes,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? And it's for real. You can trust it. Like, that's what I see with... when the Page of Cups there is, you can totally trust it. It's a very... it's an energy that just doesn't have an agenda. Like, that's basically that's what pages are like. They bring messages of whatever their suit is about, and he brings messages of love. So
cool.
It's very sweet. Hopes and fears. This is funny to see. So this is a position of what you hope for and also what you fear. And the Ten of Pentacles, so only pentacles I see in the deck. Pentacles is material force. Pentacles is, like, money, your job, your health, your career. So part of me is like, you hope and fear you're gonna stay here forever. Like, that's what I, or like roots, really. It's
right.
Like really, really abundance beyond your wildest dreams,
right?
So that's interesting to see as a hope and a fear. It's like, wow, I'm really committing to these, like, big long-standing structures or institutions that will give me a lot of material wealth or...
Yeah. I think, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, these, like, big things that you're very hopeful for can be really scary, you know,
yeah,
in themselves. Like, these great dreams that you have, like,
yeah,
there's a, like, a kernel of fear to them and
yes,
things like that. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Because what if every door closes? And then, I mean, it's not like there's actually nothing to be afraid of with this card. It's a very conservative card. Like, when this card, it's at the end of, tens always indicate the ends of cycles with their suits. And so for this to be at the end of the cycle with the, quote, money suit means it's about, like, fat cats and, like, wanting to stay within what's comfortable. It's, you don't want to get, the fear seems to be about comfort. Like,
right.
I don't want to get too comfortable.
Right.
But, you know, that's probably not something you have to worry about for some time. It's to me, it's funny to see that there. It's like, oh no, I might be happy.
Like, honestly, true.
Yeah,
like,
I get it. The overall outcome, love to see this guy in the reverse position and your overall outcome. So when this is upright, this guy, open dishonor. Swords again. This card, shows a figure that's holding three swords, and these figures are kind of walking away in the background with their heads in their hands. They look defeated, and he's got a smirk like he's won. This is the card of when you're working with someone or working with yourself and they're obsessed with control. They do not want to connect. They are obsessed only with control. And it's usually mental because it's swords. So there's, you know, he's not a great guy. Like, you see it in positions where someone just refuses to connect with you in any way, or you're refusing to connect with someone in any way. And when it's reversed, that's the stalemate ends. Like, there's no more worry about... whether or not It's very similar to the double reversed, whether or not you're being like controlling or controlled in any way.
Right.
The narrative has shift to connection, obviously, because now we have the Two of Cups. So it's very sweet. And I think it also speaks with the Devil reversed and the Five of Swords reversed, the Page of Cups and the Two of Cups. There's this promise to you that truly you have left the past behind. Mm-hmm. Truly you never have to go through a cycle again quite like the one you went through.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
So I love it.
No, that's
it.
You
love to see it.
Yeah, you love to see it. I love to see it. I think I can agree with everybody in this room, both of us, that we love to see it.
So does that resonate?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, do these are the reverse ones. Do they like these? This is what you say was what is this one?
Open dishonor.
Dishonor and then the Devil. These ones are flipped.
Flipped. Like, it's like. That's bye. It's
bye.
Like all...
right. And those ones are not like dishonor's not great. The Devil's not great. So no. I mean that feels nice that those are the ones that are flipped.
Yeah. They're the only reversals. I think they're there to validate that they existed at one point.
Yeah.
It's important to see those and be like, it happened. I'm not like tarot never is like, let's sweep that under the rug. Like that never works with tarot. So it's more just to say like, no, there was a point where there were darker times.
Yeah.
And they often when I see them, it can be difficult sometimes because those darker times can be so comfortable. I think I said this on an earlier podcast where like hell is always there for you.
Right.
Like that's why it's so hard to leave it sometimes because, man, you can go back at
anytime.
Like, it'll be waiting for you. And it's when I see it and when I pull cards for myself and I see reversed Five of Swords or reversed Devil, it's a reminder of like, don't approach anything in your life as though it's going to behave as like that time in your life, basically,
right.
So that you can be open to these connections.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's just even seeing like, just like linearly, like, you know, it like almost looks like a sort of timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
it definitely is. Yeah. For sure.
I love that. I mean, and also these like illustrations are beautiful.
Yeah, she's great. She was an artist in New York, actually.
Oh, cool.
So she was pretty great.
Yeah, there's just so many little details. Like this is like sort of made me be like, just everything has purpose, you know, like it's not just like a guy. It's a guy holding a fish and they're looking at each other.
Yes,
it's like
yes,
these
very
small things, which means it's like very deliberate. So it's made me be like, damn, I want to look at all of them now, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, you should.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% going
we'll do that right now after we end this podcast. Okay, well, let's just wrap it up then.
Okay.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at, on Twitter at Grace Spellman, one L in Spellman, and the same handle for my Instagram account. And then if you want to follow my cats...
The greatest cats of all time, Pierogi and Soup.
Pierogi and Soup. You can go to, I think it's just Pierogi and Soup on Instagram. They're just like crazy shitheads. And I can't stop. Maybe I don't need an Instagram for my cats. And it's like, no I have to do it.
Yeah. They're very special. They're just,
And they mean a lot to me. And if I can share them, I want to share them. So anyways, that. And then at the end of August or early September, I have a music podcast dropping soon called I Love This Part. So if you want to wait for that, I would just, you know, check out my handles. I'm sure I'll post 8,000 links to wherever it is.
Check it out, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah.
We will catch you next time. Thank you.